Hello and welcome to day 12 of the IIHF World Championship, and more importantly, a welcome back to fans. That's right, everyone. We had 2,600 supporters inside the arena to see Latvia face Germany tonight, and we saw drama worthy of crowds all day.
Dangerous game the Germans are playing. Here comes Latvia, 3-on-1. Abel winds it back, takes a return pass, and shoots, scores! Rodrigo Abels!
Gregorenko sends it through. Slipyshev in front. Voronkov scores.
Here's now Garland with a steal. Walks in and scores. Connor Garland with a sweet mitts to keep Canada alive in it. Brown waits, works in, and he's stopped by Okanora, and Finland wins it.
Lucas Aykroyd, how are you?
I am well. Just trying to take it all in. Great way to set up our quarterfinals, right?
Okay, I'm going to start things off with a question for you as always, okay?
Okay.
We're heading into the most exciting portion of the Men's World Championship with the medal round, but I know you also have a longtime passion, which makes me super happy as a former women's athlete, for the IIHF Women's Hockey Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
How did this passion begin for you?
Oh, wow. Well, you got to go back to the 20th century. First time seeing it live, I was a fan. Like, I won tickets to a January 1998 U.S.-Canada women's exhibition game in Vancouver before the Nagano Olympics. Like, crowd was maybe 14,000. I just remember all the girls screaming when somebody rushed the puck. So, 2 years later, I did a Sports Illustrated story about Haley Wickenheiser, who was training for the Canadian Summer Olympic softball team. The story described her as, quote, starring in her predictable puckhead role at the Women's World Championship. Just in case Haley is listening, I didn't actually write predictable puckhead role. My editor stuck that in. This happens sometimes when you're a writer. Anyway, so I went on to cover the next five Olympic women's tournaments, and now I'm looking forward to the double whammy of Women's Worlds in Canada in August, followed very closely by the 2022 Olympic tournament.
So awesome, Lucas. And what has stood out for you along the way?
You know, there's these mind-blowing moments where you just ask yourself, like, did that actually happen? I remember in 2006 in Turin, Swedish goalie Kim Martin just stole the show and knocked out the Americans, who were heavily favored in the semifinals. And then, you know, 2010 in Vancouver. I mean, it was wonderful having the Olympics in my hometown, but then you also had this bizarre spectacle of the Canadian women, quote unquote, having to apologize for celebrating with cigars and beer on the ice after winning gold. I mean, you know that would never happen with a men's team, right?
Never.
And, okay, Caroline, I got to confess something. The real reason I've sung so much Britney Spears on the Totally Ice Hockey show is because the name of Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson's 2018 gold medal winning shootout move was, oops, I did it again.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so what do you think the future holds?
I think we're going to see women's hockey continue to grow like crazy. I mean, we're only really just scraping the surface. I'm looking for a sustainable North American Women's Pro League in the near future. And I think also even more integration between women's hockey and the men's game. I mean, look at all the female stars transitioning into NHL hockey operations lately. You've got Kendall Coyne Schofield in Chicago, mm-hmm. Megan Duggan in New Jersey, Cammy Granato down in Seattle. The Kraken also hiring Alexandra Mandricki on the analytics side, kind of similar to the work Megan Chayka does with her company Staffleets. And, of course, you've got Danielle Goyette and Haley Wickenheiser with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, is it too soon to mention Toronto Maple Leafs for Maple Leafs fans? Just hearing that breaks my heart.
Oh.
Over and over and over again. It's too soon, Lucas.
You know, I figured this was the most diplomatic way to do it. Anyway, you know, point being, if we keep going in the right direction in women's hockey, hiring women will become, you know, the norm in the hockey world. You're not going to point it out any more than, say, a man is the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, or a man is coaching Finland, right? You know, you want it to be open to everybody.
Well said. All right, let's get a look at all the scores from our final set of group games. Go ahead, Lucas.
Switzerland 6, Great Britain 3. Finland 3, Canada 2 in a shootout. Canadian fans on pins and needles after that one. Czech Republic thrashing Slovakia 7-3. USA 4, Italy 2. Russia 6, Belarus 0. And Germany 2, Latvia 1. Great game for Germany, but a dark night in Riga.
And that's exactly where we start with our game of the day. It goes to Germany and Latvia, and unfortunately, it just wasn't the day for the host nation, not being able to get back and losing 2-1 to the Germans. Fill us in with everything we need to know, Lucas.
Gord Miller said it best on TSN. It's heartbreak for Latvia on home ice. You always knew this game was going to be frustrating and painful for one of these teams. Truly a hard-fought game could have gone either way, but now Latvia has missed the quarterfinals both times it has hosted the World Championships. And it's about little mistakes and missed opportunities. For instance, Jānis Kalnins getting the nod between the pipes again from Coach Bob Hartley over Matīss Kivlenīks. Now, I don't want to point the finger at Kalnins, but would he like a do-over on Germany's first goal by J.J. Paterka? Bad angle shot? Probably. Then you fast forward to the third period, right? The Germans up by goal, and Jonas Müller and Paterka take back-to-back tripping penalties. Perfect opportunity for Latvia, but they can't convert. All they needed was one goal to take them to overtime, take them to the promised land. No such luck. But you know what, Caroline? This was painful for Germany, too. Marcel Nobles, who had the eventual winner 6-40 into the first period, he had to leave after he hurt his arm. German coach Toni Soderholm certainly hoping he'll get back the reigning DEL player of the year for the quarterfinals. And then those Germans blocking shots like maniacs on the PK again, right? We remembered this movie from when they beat Canada. So break out the ice bags. You know, as sad as you are for Latvia, though, you've got to be happy for the Germans who claw their way back into the playoffs in the end.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Lucas. Okay, let's get to the rest of our recaps, starting with Switzerland and Great Britain.
Anything you can do, I can do better. We're not doing this right now, Caroline.
Right. I was about to say, no, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an advertisement. This is part of our recap.
Yeah, this is not actually Annie Get Your Gun. We're talking Switzerland, Great Britain. And what I'm saying is I think that song is what Britain's Liam Kirk had blasting in the dressing room before their last game. I mean, look, first, Switzerland's Gregor Hoffmann opens the scoring and takes over the tournament goals lead. Just 37 seconds later, Kirk blazes down the right side and ties it up on a nice snipe from the faceoff circle. However, even with Kirk adding another goal for his world's leading seventh, it's Christoph Berchi stealing the show here. Berchi's first goal comes just 13 seconds after Santeri Alatalo, a Finn representing Switzerland, gives them the lead, and then he gets another one 5 minutes later. So, no GB comeback. 6-3 final for Switzerland. Funny note, both teams put in their backup goalies for the third period. I think it's kind of nice. Although I'm sure somebody out there is like, doesn't merit count for anything anymore? Why does everything have to be so inclusive now? Anyway, this is the Swiss executing the way they needed to ahead of the quarterfinals, and the Brits going home with their heads held high.
Canada versus Finland. Such a close game between these two teams today, but again, the reigning champs continue to prove what they're still capable of.
Objectively, Caroline, a Finnish shootout win was kind of a fair and expected result here. In 2019, Finland, remember, they defeated Canada in both the group stage and the gold medal game. In fact, the last time the Finns lost to Canada was 5-2 in Paris back on May 16, 2017. But you know what? Full marks to Canada for coming out hard. Shots 18-5 for Canada in the first period. That forced Finnish goalie Jussi Olkinuora to be at his best. Of course, we also got to give props to Canada's Darcy Kemper, who later dove to stop the puck and poke it away when Atte Ahtamaa's dump-in took a weird bounce off the sideboards and almost drifted into an empty net. And, you know, Canada got the secondary scoring we said they needed from Brandon Peary and Maxime Comtois. It's just too bad for them that Arttu Ruotsalainen brought his A game with two goals and the shootout winner. But of course, fortunately for Canada, Germany saved their bacon, putting the Canadians into fourth place with the regulation win over Latvia. And of course, that is Canadian bacon.
Of course. I was about to say, who doesn't love some good Canadian bacon?
Except for all our vegetarian listeners out there.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, the Czech Republic made a big statement after beating the Slovaks 7-3, and they keep that winning streak alive and well.
Oh, there are no words. There are, but this just isn't the way Slovakia wanted to play in a rivalry game, even if it's just for quarterfinal seeding, right? Filip Zadina exploited the Slovak mistakes ruthlessly to score and set up the first two Czech goals in this romp. Czechs on a roll right now, 5 straight wins. So much positive energy for coach Filip Pisan's team, but both teams with tough quarterfinal matchups coming up. Here's what Slovak coach Craig Ramsey said about how much his team needs to cut down on turnovers.
Boy, oh boy, it's the number one point, I think, in every speech before every game and practices, etc. No neutral zone turnovers especially. But we just seem to love to make passes at the red line, lateral passes, and at the offensive blue line. I don't know why we're not content to chip and chase. When we do it, when we chip it in and we go after teams, we can be very effective because I feel we have good speed.
Okay, up next, the Americans are at the top of Group B after their 4-2 win over the Italians. This one, I feel like everyone might have expected. Mm-hmm. So give us all the deets.
The U.S. followed the template we talked about yesterday, grabbing that juicy 3-0 lead with a whopping 19-2 edge in shots in the first period. And then, well, you know how hockey players love to talk about burning fossil fuels? As in, we kept our foot on the gas pedal. Well, the Americans deviated a little bit from that to allow Italy back into the game at 4-2, but no biggie, really. Mission accomplished, first place in the group, and a tip of the hat to Italian goalie David Fadani with 39 saves on 43 shots. Wow. Italy needs every positive it can take from this experience heading into 2022.
Absolutely. And last but not least, let's talk about the 6-0 blowout in the Russia-Belarus game.
Well, the Russians did the same thing as the Americans in the first, just a little more extreme with a 5-0 first period lead. 2 goals allowed on just 3 shots against Belarus goalie Konstantin Shostak before he got pulled. For the Russians, Nikita Nesterov and Mikhail Grigorenko both on fire with 3 points apiece. You know, this is just exactly what you'd expect from coach Valeri Bragin's team in this situation. Taking command and taking first place in the group.
And you know what, Lucas? There was a quote that really tugged at my heartstrings from Belarus forward Francis Paré about how tough the bubble has been on him. So listen to this. It feels like a prison. I miss so much my family, my daughter, my newborn son in Minsk. My wife is there. Can't wait to go back there. It's going to be a long bus ride, but my teammates have been really good. I can't wait to go home, speak French, and eat a good poutine.
Yeah, you've just got to respect the sacrifices the players have made to be here during one of the most challenging stretches of all our lifetimes.
Absolutely, and you got to appreciate his honesty and vulnerability. And also, there is nothing like a good poutine to end your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had some really good poutine in Quebec City in 2008 after the games. You go to Ashton, and it's like their McDonald's. And yeah, you load up on the cheese curds, gets you ready for another big day of hockey.
Oh, it's the best. Okay, now we've heard some great little snippets from the coach and player interviews throughout this tournament, and we've got some insight into what it's like being in the mix zone yesterday. So I got to ask you, Lucas, and I mean this with the utmost respect, what is the dumbest question you've ever asked in a post-game interview? Because we've all been there.
I have to admit, I asked a pretty dumb question to PJ Axelsson after Canada beat Sweden 3-2 in overtime in the 2003 gold medal game.
13:40, gone. Still no winner, but here comes Anson Carter on the line. Fires a shot, Telfus makes the save. He's got the wraparound! It's in the net! Canada has won!
Now this was the famous game where Anson Carter scored on a wraparound on Sweden's Mikael Telfus The goal was reviewed for about 10 minutes before they finally announced that it was good, that Canada had won the tournament.
It's a goal. Canada has won the gold medal in dramatic fashion.
And it was a tough situation for Sweden, which had a really good team that year, including people like Peter Forsberg and Mats Sundin. Now, this loss came on the heels of the famous 2002 Olympic quarterfinal loss to Belarus, which was the biggest upset in international hockey after the U.S. beating the Russians in the 1980 Olympic miracle on ice.
You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
But that wasn't all. Sweden had also lost on home ice in Gothenburg in 2002. They ended up with the bronze medal, but again, a stacked roster that couldn't go all the way at the World Championship. So here we are. It's post-game. Sweden wearing their silver medals, feeling sad. And I asked PJ Axelsson, standing there in my suit, PJ, how do you think the Swedish people will react to this latest defeat? Very sensitive. I mean, what was I thinking? Like, he was going to say, oh, you know, they were singing sad songs from Stockholm to Skellefteå, and all the flags were at half-mast. Well, no, he didn't say that. PJ Axelsson looked at me and said, I don't know how the Swedish people will react. I think you should go ask them. Well, touche. Dumb question. PJ? If you're listening, I'm sorry.
It might be a rest day for players tomorrow, but not us on the Totally Ice Hockey Show. We'll be here to give you a comprehensive preview ahead of Thursday's quarterfinals. But for now, Lucas, let's give a quick and dirty taste on how the four matchups are looking, and let's go in order, starting with Switzerland and Germany.
Oh, man, that is a true rivalry game. And look, if you thought Germany-Latvia was tight, let me put it this way. Three out of the last six Switzerland-Germany games at the Worlds, including the last one in 2015, have finished 1-0. Two wins for Switzerland in those games, one for Germany. It's one of those rivalries where it almost doesn't even matter which big-name stars either side has in the lineup. It's going to be tight, tight, tight.
USA versus Slovakia.
Well, we're looking at two teams trending in opposite directions, and it's hard not to like the Americans here with six straight wins, right? But the sheer passion Slovakia has for this tournament. We saw it in 2011 and 2019 when they hosted, and now playing their first quarterfinals in 8 years, a chance to win their first medal since the silver medal back in 2012, those guys are going to push it to the limit against the U.S. But for Slovakia, it's got to be the proverbial controlled emotion and no gift wrapping golden opportunities for the likes of Jason Robertson and Connor Garland.
The Russians versus the Canadians. This one's got to be a good one.
Well, this is an all-time classic. And
yep,
this year, the Russians have clearly performed better as a team from day one. And now they've got Tarasenko, Grigorenko. Maybe Sergei Bobrovsky will make an appearance in goal. They have a higher class of player, relatively speaking. But you never underestimate the Canadian willingness to dig down against Russia. Every one of Coach Gerard Gallant's men wants to be Paul Henderson or Mario Lemieux. You know, you get that one big goal against the Russians, it changes the entire narrative of this tournament. And of course, we've seen stacked Russian teams get caught napping before. Just look at 2019. Finland knocks them off 1-0, right? For me, this is the marquee matchup among the quarterfinals.
Lastly, Finland versus the Czech Republic.
Finnish coach Jukka Jalonen was very calm about settling for second place in the group. He knows this is where the real tournament begins. And he knows his defending champions are well positioned to play any opponents. You look at Anton Lundell and Arttu Ruotsalainen just getting better every game. And obviously they've got lots of experience behind them. So I think we're going to see a lot of play in the neutral zone. Fairly cautious, the Czechs as well as the Finns both waiting for the other side to make a mistake. So who's going to defend better? We're going to see. I'd say slight edge to Finland here, but I could also see this Czech team going through. So prepare to hold your breath.
Don't listen to Lucas Aykroyd, everyone. Don't do that for too long.
No, if you start turning purple, then, you know, that's out of line.
Thanks, everyone. That's a wrap for this episode of the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Lucas Aykroyd and I love doing this every single day, and we'll see you tomorrow with another fantastic episode.
Yeah. Woo.